A hole in the air. There was a man a while ago who found a hole in the air up near Pass Valley in the range of light. He built a pole house around the hole to keep it from getting blown away or moved around by the wind. Then he said heya and walked into it. He came out through the hole to the outside world. At first he didn't know where he was. It seemed like the same place. The rocks and peaks were the same ones he knew around Pass Valley. But the air smelled different, and was a different color, and as he looked he saw the trees weren't the same trees, and the pole house he'd built wasn't there. He built another one, and then he set off walking downhill, southwestwards, towards the inland sea coast. The first thing he saw, he didn't see. The water there. It was a great valley of land without water, covered with walls, roofs, roads, walls, roofs, roads, walls, roofs, roads, as far as he could see. Where Pass River Canyon turns south, he followed it and came across a big road, and the first thing that happened to him was he was killed. A four-wheeled motor hit him at great speed and went over him and went on. He was partly outside the world and still partly inside it, so that he died but could get up again. 9 times he would be able to die, they say. He got up from being dead, and another motor hit him and ran its wheels over him. He died and got up, and another motor hit him. Before he could get off that road, he got killed 3 times. The road was coated with rotten blood and grease and flesh and fur and feathers. It stank. There were buzzards in the lodgepole pines along the roadside waiting for the motors to stop going by so they could eat what got killed. But the motors never stopped going up and down, whizzing with a loud noise, up and down. There were some houses among the pines back from that road, and the man from Pass River went to one of them. He went very cautiously. He was afraid of what he might see in the house. Nobody was moving in the yard. He came up, slow and quiet, and looked in the window. He saw what he had been afraid to see. People in the house looking at him over their backbones, between their shoulder blades. He stayed still, not knowing what else to do, and after a while he saw that they were looking through him. They couldn't see anything that was even partly inside the world. It seemed that sometimes one of them caught a glimpse of him from the corner of the eye and didn't know what it was and looked away again. He thought that if he was careful there was no need for fear, and after a while he came into the house. The backward-head people were sitting down at a high table to eat. He watched them eating and got to feeling very hungry. He went into their kitchen to take some food. The kitchen was full of boxes, and the boxes were full of boxes. Finally, he found some food. He tasted it and spat it out. It was poisoned. He tried something else and something else. It was all poisoned. The backward-head people were eating the poisoned food out of basins of pure copper, eating and talking, all sitting at the table with their heads facing away from it. He went out into the yard and found apple trees bearing fruit, but when he bit into an apple it tasted like brass, like bluestone. The skin was poisoned. He came back inside and listened to the backward-head people talking. It sounded to him like they were saying, "Kill people, kill people." Dushe ushud, dushe ushud. That was the sound of their words. After eating, the men backward heads went outdoors, smoking tobacco and carrying guns. The women backward heads went to the kitchen and smoked cannabis. The man from Pass River followed the men. He thought they might do some hunting, since they had been saying kill, and he could get some fresh food. But there were hardly any people except the backward heads in those hills. If there were any, they hid, or had already gone inside the world. The only people he saw were the plants, some flies, and one buzzard. The backward-head men saw the buzzard circling too, and shot at her. They missed, and went on smoking tobacco. The air now was getting full of smoke all around them. The Pass River man got worried, thinking these men must be making a war. He didn't want to get mixed up in that, so he left them and went away, going downhill at a distance from the big road he had been killed on. The farther he went, the thicker the smoke got. He thought there must be a forest fire. He came to the edge of another, still wider road, full of motors going very fast with a loud noise as far as he could see, up into the mountains and down towards the sun setting across the valley full of walls and roofs. Everything on the road was dead. The air was thick and yellow, and he kept looking for the forest fire, but all the time he was there outside the world it was like that. He went down among the walls and roofs, the roads and houses, walking on, and did not come to the end of them. He never came to the end of them. In all those houses the backward-head people lived. They had electrical wires in their ears and were deaf. They smoked tobacco day and night and were continually making war. He tried to get away from the war by going on, but it was everywhere they lived, and they lived everywhere. He saw them hiding and killing each other. Sometimes the houses burned for miles and miles, but there were so many of those people that there was no end to them. The man from Pass River learned how to eat some of their food, and he lived by stealing, and kept walking through those streets, looking among those houses for some people who lived inside the world. He thought there had to be some there. He walked singing, so that they could hear him if they were there. Nobody heard him or saw him until the day he turned to go back to the mountains. He was sick from that food and from breathing smoke, and felt as if he might be dying, not outside, but inside himself. So he wanted to go back to Pass River, to his own place. As he turned around in the street, a woman looked at him. She saw him. He looked at her. She was looking at him over her breasts. He was so glad to see a woman with her head on straight that he ran between the motors and the high houses towards her with his hands held out. She turned and ran away. She was afraid of him. He ran looking for her and calling a long time among the high houses, but never found her. She had hidden away. He went back along the roads to the wide road up into the mountains. He was nearly dead when he got past the last houses into the granite land and started to climb up Pass River Valley. The river was running very small, almost dry. He could not understand why it was like that. Presently some buzzards came from the granite peaks and began to talk to him. They made the gyre over his head, saying, "We're dying of hunger. There's nothing here to eat. Lie down, be dead, be food, and we'll take you inside the world again." He said to them, "I have another way." But when he came to the place where he had built a pole house to protect the hole in the air, it was gone. The backward-head people had dammed Pass River at the narrow part of the canyon. It was all under water in Pass Valley. The trees and rocks were under the water. The place where the hole in the air had been was under the water. The water was orange-colored and smelled sour. There were no fish in it, but there were huge houses without windows around it. That was that man's river, Pass River. He knew its springs. That was his valley. When he saw that those places in his heart had been destroyed, that they were dead, he suffered great pain. He sat on the white granite rocks, weeping in pain. His heart hurt and would not keep time. The buzzards came again and stood on the boulders near him. "Let us have you," they said. "We are dying of hunger." That seemed good to him. So he lay down in the sunlight on the granite and waited, and soon he died. He came back inside the first pole house he had built. He was very weak and ill and couldn't move at all. After a day, somebody from his town came by there, and he called to them. They came and brought him water from Pass River to drink. They brought his family there. He lived a few days and told them what he had done and seen and heard outside the world. Then he died wholly. He died of grief and poison. Nobody else wanted to go through that hole in the air. They took the pole house down and let the wind blow it away.